were invited to a banquet, a Youth for Christ banquet last night. And there was probably about, they said around 110 people there. It was just an awesome time to be together with God's people in support of really a cause that is winning many young people to Jesus. One of the guys that was there and was speaking and sharing his testimony of how these two young men, college age men, when he was just a young man, had come into his life, and he couldn't understand why they were just being so good to him and loving on him and caring about him when he felt like he was so insignificant and that he wasn't worth anything. And he grew up under a very abusive situation. But he said one of the things that really spoke to him, one of the things that spoke to him the most was the fact that he saw that these men were giving of themselves, pouring into his life, but he also observed their life, and he noticed that they needed Jesus. The witness that stood out the most to him was the fact that these men who were ministering to him needed Jesus. He saw that they depended on Jesus. And you see, it was because of grace that they were able to reach this young man who now is one of the top dogs, I think, in Youth for Christ. He gets to go all over the place and to share his testimony and share about Jesus. He goes into all the youth detention centers. And yet, if you hear, just were able to listen to his life history and his story, you know, it's not unlike a lot of young people today. They just feel like they've been thrown away. You know, that nobody really cares about them, that they're not worth anything. How many know that God never created any garbage? Amen. You are important. Every one of us here is important. There are no second class citizens in the kingdom. We're all family. We're brothers and sisters. And you're stuck with your relatives. You may not like me, but you're going to love me. Well, the Lord is just continually just downloading into me, and I can't get off this thing about being free, living free. Living free in Christ. Now, people who are living free in Christ will be criticized for those who are not. For those who are bound by legalism and in a religious spirit, they're not going to understand you. They're going to have a problem with your freedom. Now, we know that freedom is not an excuse, all right? It's not a liberty to sin. Because if you love Jesus, you don't do that. It's about knowing him. It's about walking in his grace. Because the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. To live righteously, soberly, right? To live a holy life in this world. As we're looking forward to the day for our great God and King Jesus Christ is going to return. He's coming for his bride. He's coming for her who has kept herself for him. Are you keeping yourself for Jesus? Are you keeping yourself pure for Jesus? No other gods? Only Jesus. He's the one I'm looking forward to seeing. Amen? Heaven would not be heaven without Jesus. I tell you, folks, streets of gold, that's nice, you know, beautiful, or, you know, a paradise full of beautiful flowers and colors and sounds is nice. But, folks, it's about Jesus. Amen. It's like I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. And heaven wouldn't be heaven without him. So God is so good to us. One of the keys to living a life of freedom in the spirit, free from bondage, free from condemnation, free from fear and guilt and shame, is to believe what God has already accomplished on your behalf. To receive the word of the Lord. When you receive what God says about himself, when you receive his word, you're receiving Jesus. If you reject his word, you're rejecting Jesus, because Jesus is the word. To live free and to stay free in Christ is to acknowledge that I am already set free. I'm already free from sin. I'm no longer bound by sin. I'm no longer a slave to sin. In Christ Jesus, I have been set free, past tense. And so if you are defeated in your heart, then you'll be defeated in your walk. If you believe you are an overcomer in your heart, you will overcome. If you believe that you are victorious in your heart, you will live a victorious life. If you believe you're a loser, then chances are you'll live like a loser. What we need to do is understand who we are and live out of that identity. And anything that does not compare to what God says in His Word, anything that does not line up with His Word, I'm going to deny that. I'm going to refuse to live or believe that lie. I'm a new creation. I've been born again. I'm His child. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm no longer attached to what was, because what was is gone. It's dead. It's under the blood. I'm free from sin. I'm free from the power of sin. Amen? Amen. I'm free from Satan's dominion in my life. I'm free from him. He has no authority in my life. Amen. Except what I would give him by believing what he says. What does he say? Well, he always questions what God says. He questions what God says. Did God really mean that? Did God say that? It was not the question he posed to Eve, right? Yea, hath God said. Did God really mean that? So it's a matter of what you're going to believe. What you believe is what's going to manifest in your life. If I believe I'm a new creation, I'm going to walk as a new creation. Because I'm believing what God has already said is true. So what I'm doing is I'm aligning myself with what is true. It's by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'm beginning to believe now what God says. The more revelation, the more the word I get, the more that I realize this is what God says, this is what's true, then that which is a lie I no longer hold on to. I let that go. I said, well, that's a lie. I'm not going to live in that anymore. I'm not in condemnation. I have not been given a spirit of fear. Amen?
Amen.
But of power and of love and of a sound mind. I have a sound mind. It's what you believe about yourself. If you believe what God says, then your life will demonstrate that reality. There will be fruit. There will be evidence that what you say you believe, you really do believe. That's why there are people, a hypocrite is someone who says, I believe that, but they don't live that. And what they're actually doing is they're acting. Because they don't really believe it, but they're acting as if they do. But when you really believe what God says, it will be reflected in your walk. It's about a relationship. It's not about working, earning, achieving. It's about abiding in Him. It's about believing Him, resting in His truth. The truth will set you free. And when you've been set free, people who are not in truth may not get you. The legalist will try to put the handcuffs on you and try to rob you of your joy. A young person gets saved, they're excited about Jesus, they're happy about Jesus, and the old legalist comes along. Well, that won't last long. Pretty soon they're going to be just like me. Depressed, bound, pessimistic. They forgot what God did for them. Or they never knew. So we are to stand fast, as Paul said to the Galatians, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I believe that's chapter 5. Stand fast in that liberty. Because there are people who will sometimes, out of jealousy, will want to rob you of that. We should be walking in such a place with Jesus and such a joy and righteousness and peace that we should make people jealous in a good way. You know, there's a good jealousy. There's a good envy. I look at Jesus and said, man, I want to walk like that. I want to live like that. Yeah. I want to be like him.
Yeah.
Well, you can. How did Jesus do it? He says, I hear my Father speak. And I listen to what he says. And I do what he shows me to do. And I say what he tells me to say. I align myself with truth. Well, he was the truth. But he made himself of no reputation, became a servant and a man just like you. Amen? And I? When I say man, I mean man and woman. Male and female, he created them, right? When he said man, he's talking about male and female. But he became like us. So he became just like natural Adam in his humanity. And he had all the resources of heaven available to him. But he laid all that aside and to only be obedient to the Father, to submit himself to his Father's authority, to allow the Father to lead and guide and direct his steps, and to demonstrate to us that it is possible for us to walk such as he did. Now, people will say, well, that was Jesus. Yeah, but we need to remember, again, he became just like us. Philippians tells us he made himself of no reputation. And he left his glory to become a human being. Now, Romans 6:15 in the New Living Translation says this, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, past tense, does that mean that we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? In Sunday school this morning, we talked about choice. There was a choice that the first couple had, you know. God gave them a choice. Why? Otherwise, it would have been forced. The relationship with him would have been forced. So he gave them a choice. Do you get that? Whether they would obey him or not. It's the same thing is true today. God gives us a choice. Choose this day who you'll serve. Therefore, choose life that you might live. Don't you realize that you became the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching that we've given you. What is the teaching? The teaching about God's grace. Now you are free from your slavery to sin and you have become slaves to righteous living. In other words, we have a new master now. No longer under the taskmaster of performance under the law and sin. Amen? Now I am walking with Jesus in a new life and I'm free from what was to walk in what is. So it's no longer I, Paul, that said to live, but Christ that lives in me. I'm one in him. And again, this is just a review, but we are not to be preoccupied with sin. That's the problem, is sometimes the enemy is just trying to get you to focus on what's broken. Focus on what's wrong in your life. Focus on your weakness. Focus on your sin. If he can get us to focus on our sin, then your sin will magnify itself and it will dominate you. If you fear your sin, it will control you. If you consider or reckon yourself indeed dead to sin, it has no power over you. If you're focusing on your sin, or if you're fearful that you're going to fall into that same besetting problem or sin you've had, then it will magnify itself. If you consider yourself dead to it, but alive unto God, it no longer has power over you. Why? The reality is it doesn't have power over you. But the enemy wants you to believe that it does. So he'll dangle it in front of your face and remind you of your failures. Ever been reminded of your failures? That's why he's called the accuser of the brethren. But what we need to do is believe what God said. We need to believe, folks, that we are overcomers as a present reality and not as something to be achieved. How many are trying to achieve victory in your life? If you're trying to achieve victory in your life, you're working for victory. And by works, you're not going to be justified. And by works, you're not going to overcome. If you're trying to achieve some kind of status with God, you're totally missing it. What we need to understand is that the work that Jesus did on the cross is a finished deal. It is a done deal. The sin problem's already been dealt with. It's already been dealt with. The enemy doesn't want you to believe that. He wants you to believe that your sin is greater than your ability to overcome it. What is your ability to overcome it? Your faith in God? Your faith in Christ alone? I believe Jesus set me free from sin.
Amen.
I'm not here to say that I don't ever sin. I'm here to say that I'm free from sin.
Amen.
There's a difference. As long as I walk in this new understanding that I am already free from condemnation, fear, guilt, and shame, it's no longer a part of me. I'm dead to what was. I'm a new creation in Christ. I walk in a new life. I walk in joy, righteousness, and peace. Amen?
Amen.
It's a reality. It's the truth that sets you free. Being renewed, coming to the revelation that, wow, do you mean, yes, Jesus has already set you free. The devil doesn't want you to believe that. Because he wants to put you back in the place of working and striving and struggling. You say, man, you know, you need to repent of that. Well, I'm trying. That's your problem. You just need to come to the realization that that thing has no power over you and say, I'm done. Psh, out of here. No more. Time out. We need to live from the finished work of Christ. We don't need to lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Because what happens is people get caught up in the repentance from dead works, repentance from dead works, repentance from dead works, and they never go on. They're always living at that place of, I'm still trying to get better, trying to get right. Righteous enough for God to like me. Come on. Is it not true? Is it something that all of us have struggled with? Because we live in a world that's all about you do this and this is the result. But in salvation, God knew it was not possible for us to save ourselves. So he took the initiative. That's the difference between the truth in Christianity and the rest of the religions of the world. They all teach that you have to do this, this, and this, and this. And if you do enough, God will like you enough, you can come to heaven. The truth is that Jesus has already done everything for us. And he's made available to us all things that pertain to life and godliness freely through his grace towards his church. And when we receive the grace of God, we will live holy.
Amen.
Because I'm living in freedom.
Yeah.
If you've been in prison and you've had shackles, and you've had to wear them for a while, and you all of a sudden one day you're set free, they break them things off, and you're out, and you're looking at the blue sky and the sunshine and say, I'm free. And all of a sudden the jailer comes up and he's got these shackles and these chains. He says, you want to put these back on again? You'd think he was crazy. Get out of here with that stuff. I don't want anything to do with it. I've been set free. Here's the paper. Amen. Amen. The testimony.
Yes.
I'm free. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And the word of our testimony. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I'm born again. I'm not in fear and condemnation and guilt and shame anymore. That was a thing of the past. When that thing tries to come on, guess who's trying to put it back on you? That's the old jailer with the shackles. Trying to get you right back in that place. And then you're trying to work it off. Jesus. Just give it to Jesus. Instantly.
All done. Gone.
Done. Gone. Every bondage. Hallelujah. Now, today, I want to touch on communion because it's important that we understand what this is about. I've been trying to teach on communion before we take it. And I want you to turn in your Bibles once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want us to look at verse 27 through 31, verses 27 through 31. I think most of us, I know I have been taught that, you know, about taking communion in an unworthy way. It means if your life isn't perfect and you take of communion, then you're eating and drinking damnation. And so there are people who will come to church and they won't take of communion because if I do, I'm eating and drinking condemnation because do you remember that bad thought I had on the way into church this morning? Or the ugly thing I said to my spouse on the way in or whatever it might have been. Are you with me today?
Yeah.
And so whether you partake or not, folks, it's not an issue of, you know, are you right enough? Are you good enough? Are you worthy? It's talking about in an unworthy manner, not whether or not you're worthy. Now, whether one partakes of the communion or not does not increase or lessen the consequences, I want you to hear this, of disobedience to the Spirit of grace. In other words, there's some people who God is actually dealing with their heart, and so they just think, well, if I don't take communion, then I can kind of go on my merry way and I don't have to deal with this thing that the Spirit of God is dealing with me about. Are you with me? So they just deny communion. They go out and say, well, I'll just refuse to take communion, but I'm going to continue to live in my sin. Don't you understand that a person who continues to live in rebellion towards God does not really know God and is not discerning the Lord's sacrifice, is not understanding the depths of depravity that mankind, you know, in his fallen state, you know, it required that God would have to give up his son to die on our behalf, a horrible death, that the sins of the world would be placed upon Jesus. Do you understand the depths of that sacrifice, of what was required for you and for me? How can we thumb our nose at the Spirit of grace and do despite to him and say, well, it's no big deal? It was my sin, your sins, that put Jesus on the cross. I'm going to try to clarify that. From the very beginning, God gave choice because this is a relationship. However we approach our walk with Jesus, it's got to be through the lens of relationship. Are you with me? So that it's not about earning credit or working towards or doing, you know, living up to the golden rule. Should we obey the Ten Commandments? Yes. How do we obey them? By the law that's written on our hearts by the Spirit. When you walk with Jesus, you automatically know this is right, that's wrong. He's put that in your heart already as a believer.
Right.
Now, the law is a schoolmaster to bring people to Christ. Through the law, there's a realization that I am a sinner and that I need salvation. But once we come to Christ, amen, we are brought into fellowship with him. We are brought under new ownership. He becomes our master, our Lord, our husband.
Amen.
Amen. Our God, our King. We become citizens of heaven. And the old is gone away. Now we are to walk in this new life. Now, walking in this new life does not mean that I don't have responsibility. When we are set free, we are set free to serve God, not to sin against Him. That's the difference. We are set free to serve God, not to sin against Him. If we are doing what the Lord has called us to do, then you're not going to have time to get preoccupied with things that are going to destroy your soul. If you walk with Jesus every day, amen, then He's going to be the center of your attention, of your focus.
Amen. Yeah.
Your passions, your desires are going to be towards Him, to please the one that you love, because you are enjoying this fellowship with Him. And because I love Him, I don't do the things that grieve Him. And so it's always from a relational standpoint and not in a performance thing where... Because as soon as we get into the performance thing, we start to check, have a checklist out, and we say, yeah, did that, oh, didn't do that. Condemnation, fear, guilt, shame comes back in. Either you're free or you're not. Either you're a new creation or you're not. If you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, then you are free. You are free from sin. And so we have the power to choose the fear of the Lord, to choose to obey the Lord, to choose to serve Him, to choose to do it His way. Under the law, man did not have the power, did not have the ability to choose. There were things that we wanted to do, and there are things that people that don't know Jesus know are just right things to do. They're good things to do. I should do these things. But then they can never do them. They have trouble following through. Paul talked about his natural state, how the things that I want to do, I don't do. He was not talking about his new state. He's talking about the old state. He was testifying about how it used to be when he had taught by, you know, he was a Pharisee. The Pharisees taught in the law, and he knew. He had memorized the first five books of the Bible. And I mean, he was a man that could tell you what the Bible says and tell you what you ought to do too. But then he realized that within him there was this law that was working against him, his law of sin. And he couldn't live right. Now, outwardly, he probably wowed a lot of people. Because, you know, the Pharisees, outwardly, they appeared righteous. But inwardly, Jesus said, you're full of dead men's bones. You are really, you're separated from the love of God, the life of God. Paul realized this about himself. And after he was converted, he began to speak about that. We are to walk in the Spirit. Walk with Him. Enjoy His fellowship. When you're in a relationship with someone, you know, and you two are in agreement, there's harmony. Isn't it good when your marriage is really, you know, it's just really sizzling and things are working out good between you and you're getting along well? Isn't it good?
Yes.
And a true relationship in a marriage is not one where the other has to perform for the other to try to earn credit with that person. Because then they're in a place of bondage. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But your spouse should be free with you to be who they are. And together you can express the life of God together. Amen. But it's not a matter of I have to do or else. Because that becomes control. If you don't do what I say, guess what? You're on the couch tonight. That's control. That's not love. That's law. Let's read this from verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, there's several ways to look at this, but this morning I really want to touch on the fact that when we think about the Lord and what He's done for us and the price that he paid for our redemption. And based upon all the goodness of God in our lives and the grace that he's lavished upon us, is it not our reasonable service to offer our bodies to him as a living sacrifice? Yes. Holy and acceptable. Yes. When we realize the price that Jesus paid for our sins, how can we any longer choose willingly to do those things that put him on that cross, that caused him such pain and shame for us? We're not recognizing, we're not realizing what Jesus, the value, the importance of what Jesus did for us. We're partaking in an unworthy manner. We're treating very lightly, you see, our redemption. Is that making sense? We're not attributing the value to what Jesus has done. When we choose to do despite under the Spirit of grace, when you know God says no and you do it anyways, you're not discerning the sacrifice of Jesus. You see, we are a family and we are to love. That is the greatest commandment. We are to love one another. And I talked about this before, but there was a problem going on, you know, with partiality and with class wars going on within the church at that time. And the rich were despising the poor, and actually they were feasting while the poor man went hungry. And some were even getting drunk at this agape feast that they used to have prior to communion. Paul was saying, I can't praise you for this, because are you not failing to discern the Lord's body here? Do you understand that that person beside you is a member of Christ? All of us here in Christ are members of his body. So when I refuse to forgive a brother or sister, when I slander a brother or sister, are you hearing me? I'm speaking against the body of Christ. I'm not discerning the body of Christ. And you know, the scientists have discovered, again, what the Bible has been speaking for thousands of years. The reason why people are sick in their bodies can be linked back to either guilt, shame, and unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a green light for the enemy to mess you up, even physically. Does that mean that every time you're sick, it's because of unforgiveness? No. But it can be the result. And Paul is saying, because of the way that they were mistreating each other, because they were judging each other, because they were despising members of the body of Christ, because they were unwilling to forgive other members of the body of Christ, because they were choosing to do despite to what the Spirit of grace told them that they should do, and to reconcile in some cases. Amen? Because of that, they were bringing judgment upon themselves. And because of that, many, he said, are sick among you. And some even had prematurely died because they would not repent. Say, I've got to stop what I'm doing. I need to discern. I need to realize the price that Jesus paid for you and for me, for this family, these people right here. I need to do everything I can to promote harmony and peace among us. Amen? Amen. And not to slander or to tear down, because when I slander and I tear down others in the body of Christ, I'm actually attacking the very people that Jesus purchased with his blood. I'm not discerning the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what they did to us, folks. It doesn't matter how heinous or how ugly or how unfair it was. It still does not matter. They are still a member of the body of Christ. Are you with me?
Yep.
And that's why Jesus said, pray for those who despitefully use and persecute you. Bless those who curse you. Because when you pray, even though they may be attacking you and slandering your name and lying about you and saying all kinds of manner evil against you falsely, when you pray, hallelujah, you kneel down and you say, Jesus, don't hold this to their charge. Do you remember Stephen when he was stoned? He had every reason to be angry at that crowd, folks. And so he said, God, don't hold us to their charge. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because when someone is attacking you, folks, and you pray for them, guess what? No longer are you in the crosshairs. What happens is they're actually speaking right to Jesus. Because you gave it to Jesus. And Jesus will avenge you. Jesus will take care of it. And if you pray for mercy, if you pray for grace, who knows that someday, as many of us can attest to, I'm just glad that God didn't smoke me when he could have, you know? That God had patience with me at the times when I thought I was so right, and later I found out I wasn't so right. A lot of offended folks running from church to church. They can't get along there, can't get along here. And they're running around and they're carrying all this garbage with them. They haven't let go of it. And so when they go into the next situation, they're going with an expectation that there's going to be this more of the same. You know what? God is waiting for them to do the right thing. You see, God is not so much concerned about what happens to you and to me as much as he is the way that we handle what happens to you and me. Because that's where the real proof of the pudding is. Amen. As a child of God. Amen. Who can bless those who curse. Because we can love people who love us. But can we love our enemies? Wow. Only by the mercy. Only by the grace. Only by the love of God. Can he change our hearts. We could even do that. But each one here today, can pretty much know everybody who's here. If you're visiting, we welcome you. Hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. We have a good time here. We are a loving family. We take care of each other. You know, God has done a great work here. Thus far, I mean, we've seen so many people set free. We've had people come and go, but you know what? It still doesn't matter, because when they come through the door, God brought them for a reason. We can depart, amen, deposit something in them, send them on their way. They can take it with them and they can cross-pollinate somewhere else. Yep. Amen. We're going to let God build the church the way he wants to. Hallelujah. I don't go chasing after people like I used to. You know, I mean, if God says go after him, I'll go after him. But most of the time, it's just like, just let him go. God will deal with him. And there's people that will come, and you may not see him for 6 months, and all of a sudden they'll show up again, and now they're in. You leave that up to God. He's going to build his church, he said. Amen. If we try to be the architect, we make a mess of it. We need to remember what Jesus did for us. God told the Israelites to celebrate Passover, so that they would remember how the Lord had delivered them out of bondage of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. Likewise, today, folks, this is what we're celebrating. Amen. Our deliverance from captivity to Satan. And our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, and our healing through the broken body, amen, and the shed blood of Jesus. So when we take today, we're understanding what this means. This is a covenant. This is a marriage. We're married to Jesus. I am his. He is mine. I lift the cup and I say, Lord, I'm married to you. This is marital wine. Everything I have is yours. Everything you have is mine. We're in this together now. You've gone away to prepare a place for me. He's preparing a beautiful place for us, his bride. He's away for a season. But just as he promised, he's going to come again and receive us. That where he is, we can also be. This is awesome. So when we say yes to Jesus, we are saying yes to loyalty to him, to obedience to him, to faithfulness in our walk. Because we are saving ourselves for him. Amen. Amen. That's why virginity is a big deal. In the natural, it's a blood covenant. And you are to keep yourself pure for your future mate. So in the Lord, there is forgiveness, there is redemption, there is cleansing, there's healing, there's restoration. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the grace of God that is available and freely given to us. I want to read this, and then we're going to receive the elements today. This is Isaiah 53. And just if you just listen to this, verse 4 through 6 in the New Living Translation. Yet it was our weaknesses Jesus carried at the cross. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us. All means all. Like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. We need to realize what Jesus accomplished for us. We need to humble ourselves. Would you bow your heads right now? Is there some besetting sin in your life? Is there someone that you haven't forgiven today? Is there something you need to settle right now? Do you have offense towards a brother or sister today? Have you spoken against a brother or sister today? Would you just take that to God right now and leave it at the cross? Say, Jesus, forgive me. For that, I receive your forgiveness. You can't earn it. Just receive it right now by faith. Thank him for his forgiveness. Believe God for your cleansing today. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. See, communion is a good time to reflect and to examine ourselves. So you don't have to walk out of here with that monkey on your back. You can just cast it off and trust in Jesus. Trust in his blood today. Trust in his grace. Trust in his mercy. Hallelujah. I declare that I am forgiven. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you felt forgiven when you said that? Do you see it? Because you're declaring what is true. You're agreeing with the truth. Hallelujah. I am forgiven. There is no condemnation. I'm free from guilt. I'm free from shame. I'm free from fear. I'm free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, hallelujah, thank you. Let's just worship the Lord. Glorious Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's okay, pray in your heavenly language. If you feel led to do so. This is just between you and God right now. We don't need an interpreter. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you for receiving me. Do you know you're accepted today? To as many as received him? Did you receive him? To them he gave the right to be called the sons of God. I believe that. I believe the word of God. No matter what I think or feel, I believe what he says. I agree with the truth, and I'm set free. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. glorious, Lord. It's a good day. It's the day the Lord has made. He's with us. Whenever two or more gather, He's here. Enjoy Him. Love Him. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, sweet heavenly dove, sweet Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." By His stripes, we are healed. Just thank the Lord. Lord, I thank You for my healing today. That You were broken for that I might be whole. Let's take together. We lift up the marital cup, the wine of covenant. I am my beloved's. He is mine. Lord, I am Yours. Just tell Him I'm Yours, Jesus. And You're mine. That's the truth. I receive that today. And Lord, I'm willing to take the cup that You give me to drink in this life. Whatever it is, Lord, I'm willing. Thank You, Lord, for Your blood and for the forgiveness of sins. That my sins are forgiven. And that I am right with You by the mercy of God. It is not of me, but it is of You. Lord, we take in remembrance of You today for Your sacrifice. We give thanks and we remember You and we declare the Lord's death until He comes. He's coming again. Be ready. Amen.